The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene, firstly, may I apologize for not saying goodbye yesterday. We got cut off just before the news. And let me say hello to you on this lovely Wednesday afternoon and welcome back.
Good afternoon. And no apologies needed. Also, I don't know if I did something silly because I'm not the greatest person at technology. But, there we go. Luckily, I didn't swear on air. You know, that was a close call. I could have said something very colorful and been in lots of trouble.
No, it was all me. I think I must have muted us by mistake. I was trying out a new set of headphones. But anyway.
Most people try to mute me. It's okay.
Well, let's get right down to it. The first visit by an Israeli foreign minister to Morocco is taking place. What is happening and is this a positive sign?
This is a very positive sign. I mean, I can't believe we're approaching this anniversary. It's absolutely incredible. We're a week before our 1 year anniversary of the signing of the Abraham Accords. What a massive achievement for Israel and for the region. Four countries signing these historical accords, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco, which is where our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, is today and for tomorrow as well. And earlier today, he landed in Rabat, in the capital of Morocco. He's there to inaugurate what will be a liaison office. At the moment, we're not at full diplomatic mission. We hope to get there pretty soon. But this is the first time that a foreign minister has been to Morocco since 2003. And since we rekindled relations, I know it sounds very romantic, could be very romantic, this is the first time a high-level Israeli official has visited since the signing of the accords to Morocco. So a great welcome of fanfare. This follows a very warm welcome last month of the first direct flight that will take place between Israel and Morocco. Very, very exciting because over a million Israelis can trace their heritage, their roots back to Morocco. So for the first time, we'll be able to go there directly. We'll be able to see the country. And it is hoped that there'll be a lot of trade, tourism, and that we will see something similar that we've been seeing with the UAE, with Bahrain. Sudan, not so much at the moment. We're hoping to grow that, but definitely Morocco, and we are hoping for many more countries to join us. So a really, really exciting day. The foreign minister will go on to Casablanca. He will visit the Beit El synagogue there, a very vibrant Jewish community in Morocco, enjoying very good relations with the king of Morocco. So very, very exciting times for us. And, you know, just saying South Africa, just look a little further north, see what's happening up there and how countries are opening up and how many countries in Africa are making this decision. You shouldn't have to choose sides between Israelis and Palestinians. You can actually do business with both.
Well, you said that there's romance that's blooming there. Let's hope the romance continues to bloom. After all, the world's most famous romantic film, Casablanca, originated right there. But on a more serious note, I believe that Hamas is interfering with a UN team that's working near a school. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, so our ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, has demanded an immediate investigation into reports that Hamas, who are recognized internationally as a terror group, have prevented inspections of recently uncovered terror tunnels, and these are under schools in the Gaza Strip, and they are operated by UNRWA. UNRWA is the United Nations Relief Works Agency. They're there to look after the Palestinians, a very, very controversial body of the United Nations because many see it as unnecessary because, you know, you can't count generations as refugees. If you do, maybe hand them over to the High Commission for Refugees is one of the arguments made. But very often UNRWA schools that they operate as well as their hospitals that they are responsible for are used by Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad and other terror entities inside the Strip as weapons and munitions storage facilities, as well as launching sites when they attack Israel. So these terror tunnels, or this particular one, has been uncovered, and Hamas will not allow a team of UN engineers to come in to assess whether or not the tunnels pose an immediate risk because of exploded bombs, etc., to the children at the school, to the facility, to, of course, the staff and personnel. And this comes a week after UN Watch published their report on UNRWA, saying that their staff, at least 100 staff they have found, are responsible for posting anti-Semitic commentary and incitement online. In fact, the United Nations has begun an investigation into 10 staff to start with that we know. So a lot of controversy both around UNRWA for allowing this to happen, Hamas, of course, for preventing engineers and inspectors in on the site. And now the onus is on the United Nations to do something about this, to sanction them in some way. In fact, Gilad Erdan tweeted out, he said, 4,000 Palestinian kids can't go to school because of Hamas. The international community cannot ignore Hamas's heinous human rights violations and the state of terror it inflicts on Gazans. Hamas is a terror organization that uses innocents and children as hostages and human shields. And we saw that again last week, last Friday, in the south of Lebanon, villagers in a Druze village trying to force out Hezbollah terrorists with their trucks and their launching sites to try and get them out of the village, telling them that you use us as human shields and we don't want you here.
To continue with our talking notes, I see here that the sister of Sarah Halimi wants the case tried in Israel. Remind our listeners quickly who Sarah Halimi is and why they want the case to be tried in Israel.
Well, this is going to be, if the sister of Sarah Halimi succeeds with this, this will be a very, very interesting precedent to follow. So Sarah Halimi was an Orthodox Jewish woman who was murdered in Paris in 2017. Her killer, her murderer, was a neighbor who was reportedly high on drugs, which is why the French courts said that he doesn't have to stand trial. They have a law in place where if you are high, if you have taken drugs, you don't have to stand trial or be charged for anything that you've done, including killing your neighbor. He came into the house, he shouted anti-Semitic epithets at her, he beat her up, and then he threw her from the balcony of her apartment and that killed her. So now her sister, who's a citizen of Israel, has filed a criminal complaint with the Israeli courts, because we have a law in place that allows Israeli citizens to file complaints in Israel about anti-Semitic crimes committed abroad. But there is a problem with this, because France does not extradite its citizens to other countries. So maybe this will be largely symbolic, but it is interesting to watch, because President Emmanuel Macron vowed justice for Sarah Halimi. The international Jewish community wants justice for Halimi. So let's see what France will do. Maybe they will set a precedent and extradite him.
So in closing, let's chat about Israel's lead in the fight against climate change.
Well, yesterday the United Nations released a very, very important document, very frightening document, warning the world of the dangers of climate change and what should be done. And on the panel to discuss this was a lone Israeli. He was part of the panel, and combating and looking for ways to green the world and turn the tide against climate change is an area where Israel is potentially a leader. And now the country is looking to open diplomatic fronts to help with the fight against climate change. Some really, really incredible projects in Israel, beyond just natural gases, but to try and rehabilitate the oceans. Reforesting is what people know best. Bring back endangered species is another one, recycling programs. So definitely an area where Israel stands to lead. And I know there are many of us around the world very concerned with the state of the planet.